Hello, friends, and welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this Earth a much better place. During the first hour, I went over my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference, and I wanted to tell you that I'll be having my fifth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference next year on April 12th through the 16th with some incredibly wonderful people here in Olympia, Washington at 9101 Silicon Road Southeast. If you'd like to come, you can send me an email and I can send you the updated information at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We also have we recorded most of the conference from last week, and if you're interested in getting the recordings of the conference, please send me an email. I'll be happy to send them to you for a small fee. My email again is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or I can be called here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339. I wanted to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or give me a call anytime. Coming up next weekend, I'll be at the Emerald Spiral here at the Kent Commons near Seattle. That will be on March 24th. And then a week later, I'll be at the beautiful Tokeland Hotel on the Pacific Coast. It's about from Seattle, it's about 2.5 hours. From Olympia, it's about an hour and 20 minutes or so. The Tokeland Hotel is a very interesting place. It has lots of beautiful Lemurian energy there, and it's a sacred place. There's a lot of Native American spirits around the hotel, and they actually live there at the hotel. I'll be there with several other psychics, and we'll be doing readings in a program we call the Wine and Spirit Program. The wine actually is free. I'm donating the wine to the hotel, so if you do come for a reading, you'll get free wine, and so that we're calling it the Wine and Spirit Program. The cost for staying there the night of March 30th is only $35 for the night in a beautiful old 1868 bed and breakfast place. It's a quite historic place. It was named, Tokeland itself was named after a Native American called Old Toke. If you're interested in coming out and registering for the event, there are 10 rooms available. I think several people are already coming. You can call them at area code 206-755-8515. That's area code 206-755-8515 and ask for Catherine, or you can call me here at 509-750-9793 here in the United States, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition to myself giving readings there and Carolyn and Jerry White, a Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project will also be giving a presentation on the Emoto Peace Project and the beautiful work of Dr. Masaru Emoto and how our thoughts influence our reality. With that, I'd like to welcome my good friend, Dr. Helen Steiner-Horstein. She's on the line now, and she just published a beautiful book called The White Light. It's a New York Times best-selling book. And Helena, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Just got in through the door, actually. I expect you to call a couple of minutes later, and here we are.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad the timing worked out fine. I know you had another engagement earlier today, and
yes.
I'm so happy you could come on. I'd like to read a little bit about your background, so my listeners who people who are listening today know a little bit about you. You're a native of Sweden. I met Helena back in at a UFO conference in Bergen, Norway in October of 2014. She's a wonderful person. And in her biography, she writes, as a child, she could see energy waves flowing out of people and how these wavelengths show different patterns depending upon how the person was feeling. She also writes she could see through them and perceive their organs and energy fields within them. It's just amazing. She writes that since we're energy and energy never dies, she could perceive those on the other side and have conversations with them as well. She's written an incredible book called The White Light. I have it here. And she's also very talented. She's loved for music. She's promoted and initiated international cultural exchange programs between American students and young people of other nations as well. I'm so happy to have you on today, and you're also done artwork as well, and I could go on for quite a while just telling people, my listeners, everything you've done, but I'd love to hear it from you, Helena, and your book's amazing. I've got it here, and I want to thank you so much for sending it to me.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to send it to you, because I know you are the kind of person to appreciate it. It talks just about everything in one way. And it's spiritual, and it's very basic practical also. I'm a very practical person among all these other talents of being spiritual and really seeing things that other people cannot see.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. Well, the first part of the book is an amazing and true story about an incident you write on Interstate 95 north of Miami in bumper-to-bumper high-speed traffic. And if you hadn't, you write that if you hadn't connected with the white light and used to save me, you wouldn't be here right now talking to us.
I wouldn't have been here today. It's absolutely for sure.
Could you share that story?
It's amazing how it happened or how I could get out of it. It's like almost unreal to me too.
Oh wow!
Only because of my connection with the white light and how I did it.
Wow! In 25 words or less, could you explain a little bit about it? I'm just kidding about 25 words. You can have more than 20.
I'm a storyteller, so it's a little hard with the 25 words. But to make it kind of short, I was driving on I-95, which is a very, very busy road at all times.
Sure.
And you have six lanes going north and one other section with six lanes. So you have 12 lanes of traffic, one in each direction, you know, six north and six south. And I came in at rush hour, and I was busy. I was late. I had to go to do a workshop or something up in Palm Beach and just enter the highway from the right side, and I was going to work myself over to the very far left lane where you have less traffic and you can drive really fast. And when I just came like to the second lane, I couldn't get any further. The traffic was so bad. It was so dense. So I was driving along, and I'm a happy person. I was singing and everything else, listening to the radio, and everything was fine. And then I don't know why, but I had a thought just crossing my mind, and that was about something very, very unfair that had happened. It was just a court case where the judge had been unfair towards the other side, the way I saw it. And I got so angry at that time. And I don't know, I get very angry when someone, not even myself, but when anyone is treated unfairly.
Sure.
And then I suddenly heard a little pling out of the dashboard. I didn't think much of it, but I saw that all lights suddenly were red, you know, on the dashboard. Everything lit up.
Sure.
And then I noticed I couldn't steer. My car was kind of just running. I couldn't get in touch with the motor.
It was
just running on its own. So I realized I was just locked up in this sardine box, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Running
yeah.
without any control through and across the lane. And you know that's impossible to get through. But I realized now I was just left to the gods of the heavens or to God. And there was absolutely nothing I can do technically or practically because the doors were locked and I couldn't unlock them. I couldn't make any sign because the motor didn't react. I couldn't pull down the window. I couldn't honk. I couldn't brake. I couldn't steer.
Wow.
I couldn't do anything. And then at that moment, I knew I'm cooked. This is not going to work out. I'm going to die, and I'm going to cause a terrible accident, and no one is going to understand what happened.
Sure.
And at that moment, almost simultaneously, I realized, oh, God, the white light, and connected myself instantly with a ray of light and put myself in this light and just say, please, you know, or whatever I say, I don't remember right now, but I just left myself into the arms of the white light.
Wow.
And said I wasn't ready to die. I was really not ready. But I didn't even have time for that. It was just that I put myself in the arms of the white light. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somehow I got through the other lane. Only God knows how. And I was maneuvered through the other lane and then landed on the side lane, you know, the spare lane where you have the emergency lane. And
wow.
Then, again, through a miracle, I didn't crash into the wall, but was mm-hmm. just kind of running alongside the wall until
wow.
the motor died.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
During this trip, someone said, why didn't you start the motor? Oh, God, I tried to press and push every button I saw and turn the key and everything. It just mm-hmm. didn't work.
Do you think, pardon me for interrupting, Helena, but do you think this experience started with your emotions of anger, which like somehow caused the car to become non-functional?
Yes, exactly what it was.
Okay.
I was, it took me a long time afterwards understanding why did this happen. This was a
new
car.
Wow.
And then I realized, you know, I'm a healer. I work with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when I got so angry just thinking mm-hmm. about it, this particular thing about the court case or the judge and so on. I
mm-hmm.
got so angry and so charged with negative energy that I just threw out the whole system. I knocked it out.
Right.
The way I heal people with my energy when I'm positive.
Sure.
Now I knocked out the energy with my
goodness.
Energy. And this is what I have to remind people. We are like that. We
mm-hmm.
are energy beings. We have to watch out.
Well, I want to jump ahead a little bit to chapter 4, page 129. And this is a very key quote, and I'll just read this just briefly, a couple of sentences here. The light in us, you write, is our birthright. No human inventor has created the light. No one has a patent on it except for the universe, so no one can place an ownership on it. And maybe this is the reason why so many have in today's world has pushed it away as not good enough, or the reason why the vast majority of the medical field refuses to recognize the light as the power, for the simple reason they cannot claim it as theirs, nor can any religion claim it as their invention or property. However, we own it, each one of us, in our own way, and we have been given the free will to use it completely and totally according to our set goals and feelings from our heart. And if you hadn't used the light in that incident on Highway 95 north of Miami, you would be talking to me right now. Well, you would be on the other side, I think.
I would be on the other side. There was no way. You know, it's not only I would have been killed at that time.
Right.
Many other people, too. It would just have been a pileup. Because of the speed and the density of the traffic.
Wow. Well,
it was a very, very dangerous situation. Afterwards, I said, dear God, I know you exist. Please don't show it to me again.
Right. Well, just briefly, I know that Dr. Masaru Emoto, who did a lot of intention experiments before he passed away in 2014, one of the things he did, and I mentioned this before on my show, Helena, is that he took a bottle of radioactive water from one of the nuclear reactors in Japan, and he wrote the words love and gratitude on the bottle itself, and put a crystal on the bottle, and then sent positive thoughts to the bottle. And you know what happened within 48 hours? All of the radiation disappeared, completely gone.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
It completely gone. And
that
I've said
is so fantastic.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yes.
And when people do it, it does work, and it works so effectively, far better than any of the other techniques used to clean up Fukushima or the radiation of the Hanford nuclear reactor waste in eastern Washington here in the United States. And it's so simple. And when I read this about your your chapter 4 on the light, I said, you know, Dr. Emoto, there's a lot of scientists who said the same thing as you. Everyone's different, but yet, Helena, I think we all have this spark of the supreme being within us, God, if you will, and we all have that spark of the light to make this planet a better place.
Absolutely. And, absolutely. And I'm writing those sentences today because I'm sending out newsletters.
Oh, good.
On a monthly basis, and I'm writing. We have all this in us. This is what you know, we were created in the image of God. I'm not
That's
religious.
True.
I'm just spiritual. And I see the white light as the God power. And I see this power through the whole universe, not our here planet Earth, but every planet out there has
right.
it. And they may be more in touch with it, and that's why they have those spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
I can say this for your program, can't I?
You can say that. Yes, absolutely. Don't worry. This is not mainstream media. You know what's interesting? I think people are getting disillusioned about mainstream media. Did you know, for example, the Cartoon Channel has more listeners than CNN nowadays? Which I
that is interesting. That's very interesting. I'm not surprised.
People are tired and they want the truth. And my ratings have gone way up. I have over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries now. And
That's
it keeps
wonderful.
Growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Helena. It keeps going. And I want to read this. This is on page 132. And also, too, I want to tell everyone listening today, if you haven't gotten Dr. Steiner's book, please get a copy. It's called The White Light, A Limitless Reality, Understanding the Law of Togetherness. On page 132, you write, as beings of light, we can all channel the light. If we don't trust ourselves individually with the right mindset and intention, we could still do it as a collective. This is how prayer works. A collective intention of love and light sent in a certain direction can end up giving positive results.
Yeah.
And then you write, on the other hand, collective feelings of fear and suffering will have the opposite effect. Feelings and talk about pain and fear will create more pain and fear, continuing to build a whole world of panic and fear. And you know, one of the things I have to tell you a true story. I had Dr. Emoto on my radio show on July 25th, 2014, between 3 and 4 p.m. Seattle time. And after he explained the way his intention experience worked with the water crystals at 3:30 p.m. Seattle time, I asked Dr. Emoto, I said, well, would your power of intention experiments also work to create world peace? And he said, oh, yes, it should create world peace. And at the time, the Israelis and the Palestinians were having a terrific fight in the Gaza Strip. And I said, well, let's do a prayer for peace in that area, for a 12-hour ceasefire, so the wounded can get medical supplies and food and medical supplies. And so we did an intention experiment for a few minutes. And so then I went back to the place where I was staying, and I turned on CNN at the time. I don't watch CNN now, but I did back then once in a while. And I turned it on at 8:30 p.m. on Friday, July 25th, 2014. And what did I find, Helena, just when I turned on CNN? The Israelis and the Palestinians had just spontaneously, CNN, but they said they had just decided to spontaneously have a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange food and medical supplies.
That's very interesting. Really interesting. And this shows how much we should be part of the peacemaking here on this planet. And I have to tell you a similar story. Before Christmas, I have a podcast called Our Wondrous World.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes up, you know, like once or twice a month. And one of the weeks before Christmas, I saw on my stats that I had an awful lot of listeners in South Korea. And I was
really
surprised. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of directed my words very much to this audience in South Korea, and I said, now let's all make a joint effort to send out our love and light to North Korea and ask for peace.
Beautiful.
And I did that almost throughout the program, I think. And then, of course, it goes to the archives, and more people listen from all over the world. And shortly after that, this was when we heard that North Korea and South Korea were in, they were on speaking terms with each other.
Oh, how beautiful. How
and
beautiful.
I feel that, God, the coincidence is so great.
Oh,
of course,
well,
if everyone would do something like this, we
well,
would have peace.
Let's do something now, if I may. I happen to have a prayer that was done by Dr. Masaru Emoto on April 10th, 2011. This was back shortly after the Fukushima event disaster happened back in March of 2011. And it's a prayer he did to help clean up Fukushima. But what we can do, we can aim it, we can dedicate this prayer not only to clean up Fukushima, but for continued peace in North Korea, because I like what I've been hearing about North Korea in terms of they've wanted to, they want to negotiate now and work in harmony with the rest of the world, and I want to send them lots of love and light energy so they'll continue on this path, because I don't think anybody on this planet, nor anyone listening today, really wants a nuclear war with North Korea. We all want to live. We all have that spark of the supreme being of the God within us, and we all want to, I know we all want to live in peace and harmony. So,
well, this is what we all want. We all want to have a nice home and, you know, nice family life and nice dinners and nice love. You know, this is for all of us.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
And who doesn't matter who you are.
Right, right, right. So what I'd like to do is for everyone, when we say this prayer, it's a short little prayer, I'd like to say it three times. And when you say it, send lots of love and light to Fukushima and to North Korea, that whole peninsula area of Japan and Korea, so that they not only Fukushima will be cleaned up, but also that there will be peace, true peace, lasting peace on the Korean Peninsula. And I think most people on this planet want peace. They don't want any more wars. They don't want any more conflicts. And so it goes something like this. It's the.
Do you have it written down? You know the prayer.
Yes, I actually have it here.
Okay, because my meditations are pretty powerful. They go on a very, very deep level, and that's I actually do the healing sessions. That we go down on a very, very deep level.
Well, I'll tell you what.
The white light.
Okay, well, why don't we say your prayer first, and then I'll add mine to it, which is a short prayer, and we'll have both of them. So I'd love to hear your prayer.
And if you hear a little faint music in the background, that would be Stephen Halper's music, and I have the permission to play that one.
Oh, he's a wonderful man from San Francisco. I love his music. Love his music.
And I use Gifts of the Angels CD. That is a lovely, lovely CD.
Okay.
So now you begin to relax. You close your eyes. You relax your whole body. And you go deeper and deeper and deeper within yourself. And you know that within you there is a place that knows all and sees all. And that place is your inner life. A God energy within you that shines. And now you experience that light within you. That big, big, shiny light within you. You are so relaxed. And now we have a wish. We have a big, big wish. For peace in this world. And we send and open our hearts to one particular place on this planet where there are wishes for love and light and peace. You feel that light within you, and suddenly you feel that from way up high there's a ray of light that is descending upon you, and you are now in that big, big ray of light. You take a deep breath, and you are now sending that white light to North Korea, to South Korea, and they meet, and they turn into a one of loving love. One so relaxed, so completely relaxed, and filled with that joy of giving and sending and sharing the light that you have within you. You are so relaxed, so completely relaxed. And you receive some more and more and more of this light. And it fills with more and more energy and power and love. And now you fall this love further to North Korea, to South Korea, and all the people in charge of politics, of family, of school, of military. Sending that love and light to shine all over that whole peninsula. People are receiving, and you are receiving it to send it on. You are spiritual being. You are a shining light, and you shine more and more and more. So relaxed. And it feels like it's all sunshine around you, and you smile. You feel connected with the whole universe. You feel so safe. And when I count to seven, you are to open your eyes again. Number one. Number two. The light is shining within you. You love the light. One, two, three, four, five. You trust the light. One, two, three, four, five, six. And now, number seven, you open your eyes again. And you're coming back to the here and now. And you feel pleased with yourself. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm meditating. Thank you. I was in deep meditation. And boy, that's beautiful. What a beautiful gift you've just given all my listeners. Thank you, Helena. That was really nice of you.
For some reason, the focus wasn't strong today, but it's very strong because I connect with the light and I don't actually do it. It's just done through me. And
beautiful.
This is what I do in my healing sessions. I put people in the light and take away their shadow and their darkness.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I have a prayer here. And it's funny how the spirits work because in preparation for the show, this was a prayer that I'd had from a couple of shows back. And it just ended up in my preparation for today, and because I hadn't planned on it, but then I'm prompted to say it now. It's a special spiritual prayer for cleaning up Fukushima by Dr. Masaru Emoto that he gave on April 10th, 2011. And it goes like this. The eternal power of the universe has gathered itself to create a world with true and grand harmony. And he wanted everyone, if you can say this, to all water on this planet Earth. We respect you, we love you, and we appreciate you. We are sorry for having ignored you until now. Please forgive us. We thank you and we love you. I'm going to say it twice more. To all water on this planet Earth, if you can say it with me, that would be good. Water, we respect you. Water, we love you. And water, we appreciate you. We are sorry for having ignored you until now. Water, please forgive us. Water, we thank you for giving us love and light, and we love you. And one more time, to all water on this planet Earth, we respect you, we love you, and we appreciate you. Water, we are sorry for having ignored you until now. Water, please forgive us. Water, we thank you, and water, we love you.
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Dr. Emoto proved scientifically that with this prayer, he could clean up bottles of radioactive water. The radiation would be gone after doing that prayer.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I find that so fantastic. I always tell my clients, so when they drink these plastic bottles, you know, of water, to put their hands around the water bottles and sense light.
Ah,
and
good.
Then actually the flavor improves. And I'm sure it cleans up the water, too, from all the plastic or whatever we have in it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure. Well, when I was at the Hollow Earth, no, actually, when was it? It was at Mount Shasta in 2016. Billy Fay Woodard from the Hollow Earth taught me certain meditation techniques to do that with my hands to water as well. So it's funny. It cleans up the pollutants, and the water tastes much, much sweeter as well.
It really does, yes. Mm-hmm. And I suppose this might be, you know, when you bless the food. And we have water in the food. So when we hold our hands over the food, that is the same idea, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And you do it on people, too. And again, you heal the water in the person.
Right. Right.
If we are, whatever, at 80% or 70% or 90% of water, depending on who you are.
Right. Right. Well, one thing I wanted to tell you, Helena, is that one of the things that Dr. Emoto said before he passed away was that God is water and water is God, because water's everywhere. And he said that's God energy flowing throughout this planet, our bodies, and the universe. The planet Earth is 70% water, and we are also 70% water.
Yeah.
And what's amazing, I don't know how other people feel about this, but before I became spiritually aware, I took water for granted. And I didn't realize there were differences in water because it looked the same. But there's all kinds of differences depending upon what kind of energy it has. Really good water of high vibration is actually very, very sweet. And you can taste the difference, actually, if you do.
Oh, water is very different depending where it comes from. I know when I'm in Sweden, staying at my country house, we leave the house and climb up the mountain. It takes like probably 45 minutes to walk all the way up there to a little spring where we fill plastic or glass bottles with water from that spring, and then we climb down the mountain. Again. Well, no, we have lots of water at home. But this is what we do, because that water tastes a different way, and we feel energized from that particular water that we catch ourselves, so to speak. Out of the mountain.
Oh, that's beautiful. I wanted to tell everyone, all my listeners, especially in the United States, that about 70% of the municipal water supplies in the U.S., unfortunately, are fluoridated. Fluoridation is carcinogenic over a long period of time, and it also shuts down your pineal gland. Fluoridation actually was first used by Adolf Hitler in his Nazi concentration camps as a way to create docile and subservient inmates. And this was after World War II, President Truman brought up to about 10,000 Nazis to the United States. And unfortunately, one of their influences here in the U.S. was to create this fluoridated water. So if you live in a municipality where the water is fluoridated, and in Washington states, both Seattle and Tacoma water supplies are fluoridated, it's a really good idea to get yourself an excellent water filter, like a Berkey water filter, that takes out all that fluoridation.
Yeah. You know, I think it's forbidden in Europe. You're not allowed to use it anymore.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent.
I think so. Whereas here you go to the dentist, they recommend it to you.
Right, right. Right. Well,
I tell you, this world is sometimes it needs help.
It needs help. But, you know, Helena, I want to thank you so much for your beautiful work, because you're helping people.
Telling
people
yes.
about telling people about the white light. I've got several questions. We've got about my how time flies when you're having fun. We have about 21 minutes left, but I wanted to tell everyone quickly that if you are in an area where the water is fluoridated, be sure to get yourself an excellent water filter to take out the fluoride. And also too, if you are in an area where the water is fluoridated, the best way to get rid of fluoride in your body, if it's built up over the years and open up your pineal gland, is to get something called Arctic skate liver oil. That's S-K-A-T-E. It's a fish that lives in the Arctic. And there's something about that liver oil that if you take one capsule a day for 2 weeks, it gets rid of all the fluoride in your body, including that around your pineal gland. And the pineal gland is very important because it has the ability to open up your intuition and it's a very important gland in your body, but it shuts down if you drink fluoridated water. A bottle of 120 capsules of Arctic skate liver oil costs only $30, so for just a few pennies, you can get rid of the fluoridation, and your mind is also much clearer. It's much, much healthier for you not to drink fluoridated water. The other thing you can do, too, is to put, once you have clean water, like distilled water or water that's been cleaned out of the fluoride, if you put water in a blue bottle and write love and gratitude on it and put it on a windowsill, the vibration of the water will really rise, and it's you can drink that and you'll find it tastes very, 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 very sweet. Helena, in chapter 2 of your book, you describe meeting a burning bush in your bedroom as a teenager. Could you explain a little bit about that, please? That's a fascinating story.
That is so fascinating because it was totally unexpected. Mm-hmm. I was going to the University of Geneva in Switzerland. Actually, uh-huh. It was not Geneva. It was a prep school in Lausanne, which is close by. And I was staying in a house with other girls, and we all had our separate bedrooms. And here I wake up in the middle of the night. And I'm sure you all have had some kind of experience when you wake up in the night and you feel scared because there is some kind of presence in the room. And right. I was lying there in my narrow little bed in the corner. It was student room. And I knew that there was something in my room, and it felt so incredibly big. I felt like I had lots of people there and all strangers. So I was terrified that this was something not very good. And I was lying there waiting for something to happen. Nothing happened. And suddenly I turned around, and I don't see any people in the room. I see a big, what I would call a fire. It was a cut off Christmas tree that was moving inside of itself. And it wasn't burning like orange and yellow and smoky and so on. It was like electrical. This is what I say now. I didn't think so at the time, but this is what I'm thinking now. Mm-hmm. And I sat there in awe and watched this burning bush, which I say now. I didn't say so at the time. And I couldn't believe what it was, but I was so fascinated, not one bit afraid anymore. And I don't know for how long I sat and just in awe and watched this energy. Oh, and suddenly it spoke to me. And I heard that voice coming out of this burning bush. And I had up to then, at that time, never been so scared in all my life, ever. It was the most frightening thing I ever experienced. I wanted to jump through the wall or fly away, but I couldn't. I wanted to scream, and I couldn't. Somehow I must have passed out, because the next morning I woke up, and first thing I thought about was that fire. And I didn't see any traces in the room. It was the reality. It was not an imagination. It was totally real. Mm-hmm. And after that, I started to change. It was like an awakening. Because before that, I was a convinced atheist, teenager. I didn't want to believe in a man up in the sky. And I still don't believe in a man up in the sky. But I believe what I say, God. So... Mm-hmm. It took a long time before I had some kind of clearance what had happened. And that was suddenly a few years later. And by now I had graduated and I had started to live a life. And I was driving the car, and I believe in Spain, and suddenly I almost screamed out, my God, I saw the burning bush.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was referring to, and I don't know how it came to be, I was referring to this fire I had seen in my bedroom as a teenager.
Now,
I suddenly got all the answers, what the burning bush actually was.
Well,
it was telling me I was a spiritual being, and the power of the light that I had seen as the burning fire of, in front of me was actually the power within me, and it was trying to tell me, here I am for you. Use me. I am.
Wow.
I am.
Wow.
I am.
Wow.
And I didn't want to listen. It scared the heck out of me.
Wow.
But, you know, that was, once I realized what that had been, it again started to change my life. I walked a very, very long road before I could regain the powers I had as a child, because when I came to school, I gave up all those intuitive powers and my way of seeing through people and seeing angels and seeing so-called dead people. I didn't see that anymore. And I just instead confessed myself to being an atheist. But now with these experiences that I had, and I had several of them, I came back to being the original me. And this is, you know, what everyone actually is originally.
Well,
we are all shiny lights out there.
You are such a... I'm so happy you're on today, Helena, because you are such a gift. You really are. And
thank you.
Yeah, you are. And one thing I want to share with everyone, this is an, you sent me this. You write, I came to the understanding the meaning of reincarnation. We are energy, and energy never dies. Your consciousness never dies. This is what needs to be reincarnated and proved lifetime after lifetime. Emotions and other feelings also go to your memory bank and need to be worked out in another lifetime, all for the betterment of humankind. And I want to tell you a little short story. We still have time. From Tony Rodriguez. Tony was in the secret space program for 20 years. And he gave a presentation by Skype at my Galactic Wisdom Conference last week. And what he said was very interesting about people, about the medical facilities, both on Mars and in the secret space program on the dark side of the moon. And I said, well, what happens if somebody is killed in an accident, let's say, in a space program? Can they bring them back? And he said, yes. He said, as long as they can get a fragment of their consciousness. As long as they can have a fragment of their consciousness, they can bring them completely back into another body that they can clone and make up in this secret space program. And
that sounds like reincarnation.
Yeah, right, reincarnation. Yeah. And then I said, well, let's say somebody loses an arm or a leg, and they said, nope. He said, no problem, we can grow it back. And then I asked, they've got this technology in the secret space program on the dark side of the moon and on Mars. Why don't they share it with us while we struggled here on planet Earth? And he said, well, this is the age of disclosure, and hopefully we'll be able to get that kind of technology available to us. You know, we all work hard on this planet. We all want a better planet. And I think it's time that they disclose this to us. We're not children. And if they have technology, if this secrets program has technology that could help us and extend our lifespan, why not share it with the rest of us? We're the ones working hard on this planet. We pay the monies for the secret space program, but we don't get any benefits.
No, we never even hear about them.
Not a thing.
And I mentioned this in the book also, how our civilization and politics and religion and so on was all founded by men, not men and women, not women, but men who wanted control over others.
That's true. That's absolutely right, Helena. Absolutely right. And the human spirit wants to be free.
That's why it is free.
Mm-hmm, it is free. It is free. The human spirit is free. But that's why the United States was originally started back in 1776.
Absolutely.
because we
And
wanted
this
to
is
be
what
free.
I loved about, being Swedish, and I lived in so many different countries. But I think United States is such a special place.
It is.
And we must not lose that. I'm an American citizen and very proud of it. I'm also a citizen of Sweden. Okay, that's the one I came from, my origin.
Sure.
But I'm very
sure.
proud of being an American. And I just don't like what I'm seeing in America right now, that the poor middle class is disappearing and the richer are getting so much richer.
It is.
The poorer,
the
poor ones are getting poorer. It's not a good idea, it shouldn't be that way.
No, but you know what? We all have the power to turn that around. And that's one of the purposes of my show, both my radio and television shows, is to raise consciousness and make this planet a better place.
Yeah.
And knowledge is power. And so I want everyone listening out there to realize that we are all powerful spiritual beings, and our destiny is to create a much better and happier planet.
We were meant to be happy and well. And,
that's right.
Well off.
That's right.
We were not
that's
meant
right.
to be poor and sick and fearful.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. We were made
Absolutely.
To be that way by special interest.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I start to be more outspoken now. And I'm, I lived a long time. So
right.
I've had time
yeah.
to look around and to
sure.
think about things and to do a lot of things. So when I say things, I feel, I know. It's not that I'm coming up with new ideas. I know, I see it. I see how it works.
Right. Beautiful. Absolutely. Well, you're a light worker, Helen, and you're helping to make this planet a much better and happier place. I wanted to ask you, Helen, do you see spirits and things around people when you look at them?
Yes, but I have to... change my, it's almost like I make a twitch with my eyes in a way. I have to just click something in my brain and then I can see things. Sometimes it comes in a way that suddenly I can see an angel in front of me or something, or someone who's deceased is suddenly appearing. Or like anyone basically who can come and visit without the spirit. But if I kind of make a twitch, if someone visits with me and wants to speak to her dead husband or son or deceased husband, then I can do so.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask, do you see any spirits around me right now?
I seldom do readings in front of an audience. That kind of makes because everything is focused. And I have little trouble focusing, wondering how I will sound like or something like this. But privately, I can do a reading with you very happily,
Okay, that's totally fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. Well, you're an amazing person. Amazing lady. And you've got all these healing cases in your book as well.
Yes, and some are really amazing, too.
Well, pick out the favorite.
I never stop being amazed at what pops up sometimes.
Sure. Pick out one that you like. I think there's a lot here.
Well,
I want you
one of the most amazing ones was when a woman came to me, and she was middle-aged and nice. She had a high position in the community, and this was in a European country. Mm-hmm. And she came because she was depressed. She didn't say much more. Actually, she said nothing more. She just said, I'm depressed. I want to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up to her, and what I do many times, I come up to people, they had to stand up, and I brush them off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that really works intellectually, but I brush them off, and then they get cleared away from something. And this time I start to brush her shoulders, and suddenly it felt like I got water in my hand, just brushing off her shoulders and, back of her hair and so on. And I looked down on it was parquet, wooden parquet floor, and I saw all those drops coming, landing on the floor underneath, underneath my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, did you wash your hair? And she said, no. I was surprised. And I just moved on. And suddenly, I saw her with a little child, you know, imaginary. I didn't see it, but I saw it. Mm-hmm. She had a little boy in her arms. And uh-huh. I said, oh, but he died. Yes, she said, and started to cry a little bit. And then I understood that what I had brushed off her was, these were her tears. It was kind of warm, just like tears. And they came off like that. And she had been carrying this grief and sorrow with her. And it has just turned into an energy. So when I touched her as an energy worker, I touched her tears and brushed them off her.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's amazing.
That was, and she got rid of her depression. And this was the reason for her depression. And I thought this was amazing. And had another woman who had some hair coloring in her eye, which had almost blinded her eye. Mm-hmm. And I usually don't touch people, but this time I kind of touched her eye and brushed it off. And suddenly she started to spit up the hair coloring in her mouth. Mm-hmm. And this was, I don't know, it was a year earlier that this had happened to her.
Wow.
So that had been absorbed into her blood and out through her system a long time ago. But here, just working with a memory like this.
Wow.
And this is, you know, memories are so important to our well-being. And most healing cases that cannot be healed by medical doctors, they are based on memory, but that's memory way down in your subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So we go down in the subconscious mind of the person and just clear that away, what has been blocking the person. Mm-hmm. And now the person gets well. And I have worked on tens of, probably 40,000 one-on-one through the years.
My goodness.
Memories are extremely important. And past lives are extremely important to the well-being of a person today. And many times this is just the only cause for sickness and cancer as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
many
true.
Many times when children have a cancer, it's from a past lifetime that was never healed.
That's right.
That lifetime.
That's right.
So, you know, we are so multidimensional. We are such an interesting crowd. We have so much about us that we have not touched, because we have chosen to be logical and not going into the dimensions. And
that's
it's because it had to be under control all the time.
That's true. I'll tell you something funny about me. In a previous life, Dolores Cannon, American psychic, told me once that I lived as a banker in 1856 in Indiana to the early parts of the U.S. Civil War in the 1860s. And during that lifetime, I loved wearing stripes. And so I just looked at myself now, and I've got a striped tie on, blue and white tie, silk tie. And then I've got a striped blue and white shirt with striped socks and a striped corduroy jacket. So.
Well, it carries through, and you see it all the time.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
And it's so absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And instead we go for all those medications, try to cure, to mask whatever problem we have.
Yeah.
Of all the doctors who come to me, I have mostly psychiatrists. And they come to me only because they don't want to use their own medication on themselves. The ones they give to other people. So
that's
they come to me to cure themselves from their depression or whatever they have wrong with them.
Wow, that's amazing.
And that is interesting also.
Helen, now before we go, we've got about a minute left. What's your website so people can look up your beautiful book? And
Speaking www. You get your pens ready. SpeakingToYourHeart.com.
My name is
Helena Steiner Hornstein. Sometimes I'm Helena Margareta also, if you can find me that way. But Helena Steiner Hornstein.
Okay, wonderful.
SpeakingToYourHeart.com. I have a very old website called Body Soul Connection.
Uh-huh.
But Speaking to Your Heart is the real one.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Helena, thank you so much for coming on today, and I've so enjoyed your beautiful interview. If there's time, Eric, I'd love to play Ask Not by John F. Kennedy as a wrap-up for this program.
Thank you so much, Ted, for having me on your show. Thank you.
Oh, you were great, Helen. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope everyone has a wonderful
everyone.
And happy weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.